Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 43 and the first two verses. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1 and 2. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah chapter 43 and the first two verses. The Lord never speaks a word to his dear people only when they need it. And the Church of God here and the Lord's dear children were in deep need of such a word as this. And I would bring it home to your heart and mine as we gather on this beautiful Sabbath morn. Do we truly need such a word as this? Because the Lord knows. You see, here, when he spoke this word, the Church of God was suffering much affliction. Affliction because of sin, their sins, not somebody else's. Secondly, they were suffering from the onslaughts of Babylon, the king of Babylon. And it was a great affliction to them. And then thirdly, Satan, with all his power, was trying to destroy them. And are those things not so in your heart and mind today? Are there not those afflictions that trouble us, both of body, of mind, or of soul? And then are there not those afflictions of circumstance and trouble? And opposition from the enemies of the truth. And then, of course, the great enemy, Satan. But this was all, and it's a wonderful thing to consider, really, was all known to the Lord. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And you see, all that they were in was known to their God. Nothing was hid from him. He knew what was going on in their heart. Each one individually. He knows what goes on in your heart and the concerns of it and mine. And he knew the circumstances they were in, how they'd been in so much bondage and in the hands of Babylon. But it was all known to the Lord. And so he saw the sin that troubled them. And he saw too the onslaughts of Satan. It's a wonderful thing that you can feel that the Lord sees all what we're in. He knoweth our frame, the psalmist says, and he remembereth we are but dust. And he'll never lay on you, poor soul, more than you can bear. And he didn't upon these dear people. But they needed the Lord to appear. And this was the appointed time for his appearing. And what does he say to them? But now, thus saith the Lord God, that created thee, O Jacob. Look at the first two words, but now. They were in need of it, you see. Are we? Do we long for the Lord to speak such a word as this to us? But now, the time had come, you see. It's like I often quote that beautiful couplet of the hymn, a time he has set to heal up thy woes, a season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his goodwill. Be patient and steady and wait on him still. Now you think of those years they've been in bondage and shut up. But now, the time had come for the Lord to appear. But now, thus saith the Lord. This word we have named as a text has the divine authority of heaven. It doesn't come from any man. But now, thus saith the Lord. Have you and have I got a word from heaven which got a thus saith the Lord to it? Because if you have, poor soul, the devil will never take it away. It's impossible. He'd stand, and he'd stand you in good stead for time and for eternity. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. That created thee. It's been with me much this morning, thinking of how wonderfully the Lord created Adam and then Eve. And he creates each one, you know. You think of the wonderful conception in the womb, and that little babe is formed like he formed Jacob in his mother's womb, and he formed Israel, and he formed Isaac, and he formed Jacob, that created thee. It's personal, you see. And he was saying to these dear people, in all their troubles, that I have created them. They weren't in the earth by chance, were they? Oh no. They were people that he had created, and we read, didn't we? This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now, bring it right home to us. Has he created us that we might show forth his praise? You will notice, really, here, and it's often stood out to me, and there's other places in the Word of God where it is so, he speaks firstly of Jacob. And then he speaks of Israel. Well, you will remember if you go back into the book of Genesis how the Lord wonderfully, in his divine purposes, changed the name of Jacob to Israel. And the occasion was when Jacob was faced with Esau's 400 men against him. And you remember how the Lord came down and he wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And what did Jacob say? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And the Lord wonderfully blessed him there. But following that was this beautiful word the Lord spake. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And why has it got, was it changed to Israel? Well, he tells us, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He was one of God's princes in the earth. Jacob was. And he was to be called Israel. Now what we have here is, firstly he speaks of Jacob. That speaks of what we are as we are born by nature. Israel is when there's a second birth takes place in the sinner, and that birth is the birth of divine grace. No more Jacob, but Israel. As a prince. You know, you read in the Revelations, don't we, of kings and priests and princes of the earth. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the Lord has them still in, and he will to the end of time. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. You see, notice the difference in the wording. First, he created. He created Adam. Oh, he did, from the dust of the earth. And he created Eve from that rib of Adam. And he creates every one of his dear people. And he creates the wicked to eternal damnation. You think when Jacob was in the womb of his dear mother, and Esau too, there was that struggle within her. And she inquired of the Lord what it meant. And what did the Lord say? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And they were in the same womb. Think how solemn and how searching. Where shall we stand in that great day? Oh, Jacob. But then he goes further. He doesn't leave it just with the natural Jacob, does he? Because Jacob was a poor, fallen sinner. Oh, he was. And yet he was one of God's dear, redeemed children. And he that formed thee, O Israel. Now he forms in his dear people a precious Christ in them. What do we read? Christ formed in you the hope of glory. And that new creation will desire the Lord and desire his ways and desire his truth and desire to serve the Lord. Oh yes. Formed in the sinner. The new man of grace. And you see, as I mentioned just now, this people have I formed for myself. We find concerning Jeremiah. He seemed to so rest upon me. You know, when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in that first chapter, he said this to dear Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now this is what the Lord told him. You see, it was all done in eternity past. He that formed thee, O Israel. And you see, a form in his dear people, those living desires, those longings to serve the Lord. And this is where the child of God is so different than the world and the ungodly. Because there's never formed in the ungodly Israel, the new man of grace. They live maybe 100 years. But think how solemn, never brought to know the Lord vitally and savingly. They may acknowledge there is a God in heaven with letter or with word, but he's never been formed in them. Now, may this exercise each one of us, Lord, are we among the Israel of God? That is God's chosen elect children, and Christ formed in them as the one thing that's needful, the hope of glory. But then he goes further and he says, fear not, fear not. Now these dear people of Israel, God's children, have many fears. Oh, they do. We're poor, fearful characters, aren't we? I spoke to a dear lady in the West Country yesterday on the phone. What was dear Mrs. Woodhouse asking her how her husband was, and we were talking about the fears that we have, and we're creatures of fear, aren't we? There are many fears the child of God has, and there may be those of you this morning who come up with all these fears you've got. We're creatures of fear. We drag along and fear where no fear is. We're poor, fearful characters. And that is why the Lord speaks so many times throughout his word, a fear not to his dear children. You think of the 41st chapter. And there's three in that first part of that chapter, three blessed fear nots. In verse 10 he says, fear thou not. And in verse 13 he says, fear not, I will help thee. And verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Oh, the fears. And you see, the Lord knows what those fears are. Let me just name one or two. Occasions where the Lord spoke this fear not to them. You can go to the Red Sea with the children of Israel. They feared Pharaoh and his house. They feared the sea. It was before them. They feared they were going to be destroyed. They feared the sea would swallow them up. They feared that Pharaoh would destroy them all. They were creatures of fear. And what did the Lord say to them? Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Immediately, you know, he calms their troubled breast. Oh, he does. And you know, it's a wonderful thing the Lord can do this for us because he has all power. And there may be those things as you come this morning, I may not name them, but they're known to the Lord and they're known to your heart and you fear. But may the Lord whisper this to you. What he did here, fear not, and it was spoken to Israel, his dear children, fear not. Why? Because Pharaoh was in the Lord's hands, the sea was in his hand, all the threats of Pharaoh and his house were in his hand, and they couldn't move one step against the children of Israel without the Lord giving. The Lord give them leave. Fear not. He calms their heart. Another, of course, wonderful occasion was when Jairus' daughter was lying ill, and then as Jesus goes to the house, the message comes from the messenger, she was dead. And what did he say? To calm Jairus, you could well understand the dear man being full of fear. He says to him this, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You see, the dear Saviour had power to raise her, as we know in his word he did. Even from the bed of affliction, but far greater than that, she had died, and from the bed of death. Fear not. And why had they not got to fear here? Well, because we are told by what follows why they'd not got to fear. For I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed them. Beautiful word, isn't it? Oh, may the Holy Spirit, when the Lord dropped this into my heart, I begged of the Lord he'd speak it to me. I begged that he'd speak it to each of us here. You know you'd be the happiest soul that walked this earth if the Lord tells you this. I have redeemed them. Who was to redeem the children of Israel at the Red Sea? It was the Lord only. They were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But let us bring it home to what was here in what these dear children of Israel were in. Who was it to redeem them from the afflictions they were in? It was the Lord. Who is it that can redeem you from the afflictions you're in? He'll be the Lord. Who was it that was to redeem them from the powers of Babylon? It was the Lord. Who was it that was to redeem them from all the sin that they'd fallen into and unbelief? It was the Lord. And who was it that was to redeem them from the powers of Satan? He was the Lord. For I have redeemed thee. Now let us, as helped, look a little into this redeem thee. You know, when something is redeemed, it means a price has to be paid. If you want to redeem something, you have to pay a price for it. It's got to be purchased. Think of our never dying souls. That we are we concerned that we're among the redeemed? Is your desire with the hymn writer and mine, with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Redeem in love has been my theme and shall be till I die"? What was the great cost to redeem Israel, God's dear children, you and I, if we're among them? It was the heart, and I speak it with much reverence, the heart blood of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, his own heart's blood. Nothing short of this would redeem the Church of God. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Redemption's work was done. The price was paid. And it was all paid at Calvary. Oh, it was. You see, the Lord Jesus left the realms of heaven to come into this earth to redeem his dear bride, his church. I have redeemed. And you see, if we are redeemed, we've nothing to pay. We cannot, there's nothing we've got to pay, is there? It's all paid. I have redeemed. You know, when the dear Saviour uttered those precious words at Calvary, it is finished. Salvation's work was done. The Church of God was redeemed. He bore all the punishment due to us, to his dear children. He tasted of hell for them. He entered into hell for them to redeem. What are we saying? He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. Oh, may we ever consider the great cost of our salvation. I have redeemed thee, he says. You know, when the Lord speaks such a word to this, what a confirming word to the poor sinner. What a word to lift them out of the dungeons of sin. What a word to set them free from the bondage of sin and of Satan. I have redeemed. I've paid all that's due to purchase thy poor soul from endless ruin. I have redeemed thee. And oh, may the Lord whisper this to us today. And if we're among these redeemed, we feel so unworthy if the Lord speak this word to us. Lord, that thou should ever speak such a word to a poor, dejected, worthless worm as I. Such a vile sinner. Think of what the hymn writer said, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace. And then listen, a Saviour's blood to plead. Why, all their salvation's in that blood. It redeems the blackest, vilest of sinners, of all sin. I have redeemed. Purchase thee with my own heart's blood. You see, such a word as this will be craved for by the real exercise sinner. Lord, do speak it to me. We sing in the hymn, don't we, speak and let thy servants hear you. And our ears on the stretch, listening for the Lord to speak such a word as this to us. Longing for it. Like we mentioned on Friday, what the Lord wonderfully did for dear Mrs. Guest. You know, she went to bed that night feeling absolutely dreadful because of her sin and because of the vileness of her heart and because of all the trouble she was walking through. And what did the Lord do? He gave her a little glimpse of the dear Redeemer in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering, bleeding, dying for her. And she felt all her sin was there being put away by the dear Redeemer. And she was so full of his love, her very countenance shone with the glory of the Lord in it. And then when your late beloved pastor preached from that beautiful word, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She said she felt as though her whole body would burst in love to him. You see, how did he speak this word, I have redeemed thee? He spoke it from the love of his inmost heart to sinners. Love to them that know the Lord. And what will be the effect of this? As he speaks this word, you see, all the sin that troubles the child of God will all be gone. I have redeemed. There will not be the shadow of a spot on your poor soul. And what will be the effect of it within? You'll just be filled with his love. Immersed in it. You know, I often think in the sacred step of baptism, when the candidate is immersed in that water, all to be immersed in his love. And you know, it's a blessed place, you know, to be immersed in the love of Christ. On such love my soul shall ponder, and it will, poor soul. Love so great, so rich, so free. And were lost in holy wonder, say, my soul, such love to thee. And oh, that we might know more and more of that love in our souls. Love to him for what he has done for us. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. For I, the God of heaven, he that created thee, he that formed thee, he that can take away all thy fears, I have redeemed thee. You've nothing to pay, poor soul. But then there's another point. If he has redeemed us, We're not our own. You're bought with a price. The price was his own heart's blood. And what a mercy that precious blood, you know, has still the same power today as it was when it was shed at Calvary. Oh, you think of those two beautiful hymns. We often sing them at the ordinance, but you know they're very sacred to these characters that long for what's in our text. 160, aren't they? There is a fountain. And what a sweet assurance this is to the poor, burdened, sin-sick sinner. There is a fountain. You may say, to such a wretch as I, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You'll look for them, poor soul, but they'll all be gone. Wonderful place, you know. To have this is the passport for heaven, you see. We shall never get there without it. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day. And can we say, or do we desire to say, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song. Oh, sing his power to save. And then, of course, dear Joseph Iron's beautiful hymn at the close of the book, 'Tis Jesus. Precious blood. And oh, that precious blood is very attractive, and I use that word reverently and rightly, to a poor sin-sick sinner, because all their hope's there in that precious blood. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? He says, I have called thee by thy name. You know, the Lord knows the names of every one of his dear people. Let me just prove it to you briefly from the Word of God. You think of dear Samuel, that little lad, as he sleeps there in the temple. The Lord speaks to him, Samuel, Samuel. The Lord knew his name. Some of us have experienced it. The Lord knew the name of Jacob, didn't he? And he knew the name of Elijah under the juniper tree. And he knows the name of every one of his dear children. I have called thee by thy name. You know, when a dear mother wants one of her children to do so, she'll call their name, won't she? She requires them to do this or that for her. She knows their names. They may be all different characters, but she knows the name. And the Lord knows the names of his dear children. I've called thee by thy name. But what he says is this: thou art mine. He claims his dear children. It's like a dear mother may see her children among a class at school, and she knows them. their name. And she can claim them as hers, because she's brought them forth into this earth. They're hers. And the Lord knows his dear children's name, as I have said, but he claims them. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. You may say, well, such a poor wretch as me, Lord, I long to know that I'm thine. You know, there's a beautiful couplet in the hymn, isn't there? Come and claim us. May this be the language of each of us today. Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. You think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. I read it at the funeral on Friday because it was so precious to our beloved friend. What did the spouse say? My beloved is mine, and I am his. And I am his. You see, these souls that he says to, thou art mine, he's claiming them, and they can lay claim to him. We think of that beautiful word in the hymn, my Jesus has done all things well. And you know, if the Lord speaks such a word as this in our text to you this morning, poor soul, you'll be able to say this, my Jesus hath done all things well. You may say, well, I've had things against me and things that the Lord has overturned, but I can look at it now and I can say, he's done all things well. The Lord never makes a mistake, you know. He didn't make a mistake in speaking this word to his dear children. They, as I said at the commencement, they needed it. And is there one here this morning, why the Lord's given it to me, that needs it? Well, may the Lord grant it to you. And if he does, you'll have to say, why me, oh blessed God, why me? And you'll truly be melted and humbled by it. You think of Legion when he sat at the feet of Jesus. And the Lord had done all things well for that dear man. Oh, he had. And as he sat at the feet of Jesus, he was humbled. And in his right mind, and that's just how you'll be when the Lord speaks such a word as this to you.